Hey guys, welcome back to Church of Harvest Family Ministries Parenting Podcast. Today's super exciting because not only are we recording this right before Easter Sunday, so we don't have anything else to do, but today I got the one and only lead campus pastor of Olathe, Pastor Bo Norman,
Let's
with us.
Go. Man, oh man, so good. Love you guys. Love you, Pastor Royce.
How's the season been for you?
It's been great, man. Yeah. It's been great. It's I'm a shark. Yeah. If I sleep, I drown. And so it's been good, yeah, man. Not much of that.
Yeah, you know? we don't breathe the water like they do. That's right. So, yeah, no sleep. And I know a lot of like relationship forming, mm-hmm, and kind of getting to know everybody, which
yeah,
is
for sure
a lot. I mean, it's a lot because it's, you know, it's like you're stepping on a moving train for
That's
sure.
Right.
And the cool thing is that, you know, you're built for it. So
I appreciate that.
It's
bro.
Super cool. And it's been really cool. So for those of you guys that don't know, while yes, Pastor Bo is my boss and effectively my spiritual authority, he's also my friend. We've been friends sure. for years. And so it's a really, really cool like work environment to kind of shift from, you know, as I relate to Pastor David so fondly as a father figure. And Bo carries some of that, but a lot more like a older brother, mm-hmm, too.
Who's not gone. Much older. Not much older.
Listen, but way wiser. Way more wise.
I got some of that.
No, I mean, well, and just from the aspect of, you know, not only the lives that we've lived and the things sure. that we've done, but also to the things that affect us most dearly, you know, like our families. Right.
Yeah,
so
that's good, bro.
Like I was thinking about this earlier today. Like I really, number one, I really wish that you would have named one of your children Arrow.
Yeah. I have a nephew.
You have a nephew named Arrow?
Nephew,
for
yeah.
real?
Yeah, so middle
Bo,
name, yeah.
Bo and Arrow? That'd be dope. But then the other thing, too, is like I've got two kids and you have four.
Yeah.
Our oldest daughters are similar in age.
Yes.
And so.
And your other daughter and
yeah,
my other daughter.
Yep. Are same age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, both
yeah,
10.
Yeah.
So it's a fun journey of parenting. And I know that whenever it comes to like, again, like our life experiences, you know, you planning churches, me kind of forging ahead on a, you know, weird path into ministry kind of thing.
Yeah.
Life is super nuanced no matter who you are.
That's
and
right.
Everyone's in that space. But I think to that point, I kind of want to dive into just kind of picking on some pieces of things, because although life is super nuanced, there's kind of principles that are laid down in life,
mm-hmm,
that really keep everything on the rails. And so to the tune of, obviously, this is a, you know, parenting podcast, so we're typically speaking directly to parents, marriages,
That's
all those
great.
Different, you know, felt need scenarios, versus, yeah, you know, spiritual realities and principles. Whenever it comes to parenting, like just from the perspective of Pastor Bo, mm-hmm, what would you say is like the purpose of parenting as a general concept? And then we'll kind of maybe drill down into more specifics and then how that becomes actionable.
Yeah, man, what a great, deep question. And I want to say, I expected nothing less from Pastor Royce. You know, we were talking about this podcast. You said, you want me to give them to you ahead of time or off the cuff? I said, let's run it off the cuff.
Yeah.
No, that's a great question. So kind of a two-part answer. Yep. I think if someone said, what's your main goal as a parent,
mm-hmm,
it's to make sure my kids are ready to meet Jesus.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
It's heaven. Heaven's the main goal. Now that's two part, because I want to get them ready for heaven,
yep,
in their eternity, and I also want to get them prepared to bring heaven to earth.
Amen. Yeah.
You that's know, good. And so in every area of life,
mm-hmm,
right? Then that kind of breaks into other little areas, right? So when it comes to education, right, there's those pieces. For me, very specifically, I feel like my job is to make sure my kids love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are men and women of their word.
Yep.
If they say they're going to do it, they do it. Right? They're going to work hard.
Yep.
And they're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And
sure,
so those are kind of the
right,
the avenues.
Well, I know, like, you know, it's you grew up in ministry. We've had, you know, a lot of really awesome conversations just around the concept, really, like, oh, family ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what does that mean? And I love your take up from, you know, the perspective of the stranger, the person that's not integrated with our culture, like, and they just ask the question, hey, what is family ministries?
Mm-hmm.
How do we, you know, how do we respond to that? And what does that mean? And as we talked about that, you know, you talked about your experience of really growing up in the ministry,
yeah,
that, you know, your parents, they really took the weight of that call very,
mm-hmm,
seriously on their lives, and, you know, functioned in that way in a, you know, stereotypical church way. Mm-hmm. But I think that regardless of your vocation, and explain it, maybe help me understand that a little bit too, because did that mean that your parents were pastors, or were they bivocational, or like what did that look like as a kid?
Yeah, so no, my dad was in sales, my mom was a teacher until they got into full-time ministry much later in life, but they'd done, my dad was a youth pastor, mom was a worship pastor, my dad was my youth pastor, mm-hmm. right, but he was a full-time volunteer, as we always say. And so I think really what my parents did for me when I was little, when it comes to family ministries, right, I was a part of every ministry they had. Right. So if there were Bible studies at our house, man, I was hanging with the kids, and we were having fun, right? But we got to be a part of what they were doing.
Yeah.
And also, they, you know, there's no junior Holy Spirit.
Yep.
You know,
Amen.
And they really instilled that when I was young. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of that, I'm third, fourth, fifth grade, and I'm leading. People are coming to my house to spend the night, and we're baptizing them in the bathtub.
Yeah.
You know, we're walking the track, and we're leading them to Jesus. And that was totally my parents really showing me that ministry isn't what you do, right?
Yep.
9 to 5, it's who you are out of the abundance of the relationship you have.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to bring up or you know, understand that scenario a little bit better, is because I know a lot of people, they kind of segment, right, ministry. And I know even me, like I went through a season of time of trying to figure out and understand.
It's good, bro.
That concept of like, no, ministry doesn't happen when I'm in a particular place versus a different particular place. It's not like I have my job and then I have my ministry. Like, ministry is the response to the call that God has on my life.
That's right.
And so to the measure in which I have clarity around my call, and you know, there's specific callings, but then there's also general callings.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is called to go.
That's right.
Jerusalem, Judea, to the end of the earth, and to preach the gospel to all people. And there's different modes and variations of that, but that doesn't need to be reestablished.
Right.
Like, we don't need another one.
Right.
You know, that one's very clear. Yeah, everybody go do that.
It was already personal.
Yeah, 100. Right. And so it's like, that's the foundation that we start from.
Yeah.
But then we don't like stop doing that when we're at work. And I have a lot of empathy for people, because I know that, you know, even in my life, I know the different segments of your life, you know, understanding the busyness.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been the full-time volunteer, and I've been, you know, had 3 additional jobs and done sales and all the craziness that goes into that world. And it's like, yeah, it is a lot to juggle. And I would even encourage, if you find yourself in that season, understand that season is not for a long time.
Right. It's not a forever thing.
No. Like, I remember being in that season for like 8 to 12 months, and I knew, man, there's an expiration date on this, because I'm only going to have the grace to carry this for so long.
Right.
But I have the grace to do it right now.
Right.
But anyway, but just taking that missional kind of mindset whenever it comes to the gospel, whenever it comes to the direct vision of the body that you're connected to, and really carrying that into all aspects of life. Because my fear in some ways is that when we begin to segment, you know, that church stuff is for church stuff and work stuff is for work stuff, well, then what happens with the overlap that's supposed to happen with family?
That's right.
You know, what happens to, and we've seen this culturally, you know, and you would know this way better than I would, because I just hear about it in history. You've probably experienced a lot of this. You know, you had the ministers of a bygone era, or maybe even that might be happening now, where they're really forfeiting their families for the sake of the local church, maybe, or the ministry that they're a part of.
Sure. See it all the time.
Yeah. And so it's like, it gets real backwards, because when we look at it biblically, it's like, no, you have to manage your own household before you can be responsible with God's household.
Sure.
And then it becomes a measure of, well, what's manage mean?
And how do we navigate it, right? That's the question. I think you said it, right? We tend to, especially if you're high functioning, you tend to compartmentalize, right? And this is this box, and this is this box, and this is this box. And I try to have time. Well, if I've got an 8-hour job, and I've got to sleep for a couple hours, and I've got whatever it may be, when you start living a life like that,
yeah.
So one of those boxes, that door is never going to get opened or opened very, very sparingly. And so, I mean, I can only speak for my family, right? So we do ministry together, family ministries, right? Okay. I remember I was preaching in Houston, Texas.
Yep.
And so my family goes, like, sometimes I go by myself, but a lot of times if I'm preaching out, man, we make it a family trip.
Sure.
And we throw a party and we're going to the ocean, or we're doing something where it's a family trip. And Chloe, my oldest, she was young. I don't know that she was maybe 10.
Mm-hmm.
And another young lady at one of the churches we were at, she clearly didn't have a phone, but she had her iPad, right? Mm-hmm. And so she gave one, I think Megan's iMessage email or whatever it is, on all the people that are saved and have Apple products. sorry, forgive me. Anyhow.
There's a fruit in there somewhere. I can't remember. Anyway, go ahead.
But she, this young lady text Chloe on Megan's Apple ID and was asking about Jay. So I think your brother's cute. And so that was a funny little moment. But it quickly got real. Now, Chloe's 10, mind you, 10 or 11 maybe at the most. And this young lady says, I think I'm bisexual. Mm. And you probably don't want to talk to me now. Mm. And went into this deep place. And now Megan can see all that, right?
Yeah.
And so Megan has a conversation with Chloe. Chloe comes to Megan and says, hey, this is what's going on. And so Megan walks her through it. We call the pastor, so the pastor could, or the youth pastor could pastor the moment. Yep. But we had this amazing conversation with Chloe that, man, ministry is everywhere we go,
mm-hmm.
right? And because the Spirit of God is in you, it's drawing people, there's something in you, which is the Holy Spirit, that's drawing them to want more
mm-hmm.
and to want what you have.
Yep.
And when they realize what you have, it shows, and I don't want to use the term error, but for lack of a sin, what do you want to call it, in their life, and they're going, how do I deal with this?
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I just met you, but I can talk to you about it.
Yep.
And so it was this amazing moment that I'm going to minister, but really who did the most ministry in that moment was my 10-year-old little daughter.
Yeah,
you know?
I love it.
It was beautiful.
It's so interesting, too, that you used that particular example, because just going back to the first question, one of the things that I'm pretty vocal about is the purposefulness of the establishment of identity within parenting.
Say it again.
That moms and dads are given in God's sovereignty very unique charges to not only establish the foundations of, but also to prophetically impart into and equip the identity of their children. It's why we name our children.
That's right.
And why that tradition has been established, and I've talked a lot about on this podcast, even like name day on the eighth day from the observation of the latent talents and abilities of a child, that out of that prophetic insight would come the name, and that we name our kids in every season. And it's so interesting to me that like so many people, I feel like, have some measure of aimlessness in their parenting because they don't have that themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you can't give what you don't have.
That's right.
And if I don't know my identity or the foundation of my identity, how am I supposed to establish that in someone else?
So good, man.
And I kind of came to that revelation because I took a weird route through scripture and through just life in general.
Sure.
But fathering has always been a really big deal to me, and I've always had a really strong parental drive. And so when I talk about, you know, purposefulness, and what's the right bullseye, because one of the things that I've been thinking about lately is I think the most surefire way to miss the right target is to not have any.
It's good.
You know, and I feel like culture right now is just like, this is a big question mark, and there seems to be a lot of different bullseyes.
Mm.
And, you know, some of them are like sports or grades or, you know, competitive or comparative performance. And all these things are like coming up short significantly. So and I feel like the church has so much relevance to say, no. It's not about your comparative performance. It's about understanding your identity.
Yeah. I love that, right? Sports are, I played college ball. Yep. Megan played college ball. So athletics are a huge part of our life.
Yep.
I would love to play pickup at some point, basketball, maybe football.
Not with me.
No.
You can play with Jared.
But me and Jared, we'll hoop, bro.
He's better.
But one of the things with my kids, because they also seem to, at this point, love sports.
Yeah.
The conversation I have a lot with them, they'll play, and I'll say, Jason, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
And he'll say, thanks. I said, you know why? And he goes, because I hustled. I said, no. Proud because you're my son.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do.
Right.
You know, beyond when you get all emotional. Man, it's Wednesday before Easter. I'm not supposed to get emotional until Good Friday, Jared.
No, man, it's so good.
But it's true. Yeah. And it was like, man, no, I love you and I'm proud of you because of who you are.
Yes.
And who you are is mine. You know what I mean? Now, that's awesome that you played hard. And there's an expectation on if we're going to do something, we do it with all of our might. That's one of the things that I'm supposed to teach my kids, right? But their identity isn't in that. One thing I do, and I don't do it every night, but as much as I can, I gather them all either in the living room or on my bed, and I just speak a blessing prayer.
Yeah.
And it's, you are.
Yeah.
And you are creative. You
love
are,
that.
You're the head, not the tail. You are wise. Mm-hmm. You are a leader, not a follower. You are, and I just bless them.
Yeah.
Right? And at the end of that blessing prayer, each one of them, all four of them from 16 to 7, will say, each and every one, I receive it. Yeah. So much so that now I'm like, I'll say something silly, like, I love you, and, you know, I just pray God bless you. And they'll say, I receive it. But I'm like, I want them to understand that they have to intentionally receive the blessings of life and of their father and of spiritual mothers and fathers. But also, they can reject the ones that aren't, because there's a lot of, just as much as, and I love that you said it, the prophetic blessings that we speak over our kids. Culture and society will speak a lot of curses over them.
Yeah.
And I want them to understand. They can say, whoa, only my daddy or my mommy at this point
100.
Get to speak into that area of my life. And that we're talking identity, you know? Right. And so I reject that, or I receive that.
Yeah, I think for me, like, where that all kind of grew out of was understanding the nature of representing God. Like you said, right, preparing my kids for heaven. I've always thought of it like this, that while I don't represent the exact image of God, my kids should be able to look at me, and then when they see God face to face, he's familiar because they've seen me.
That's great.
And so, how am I reflecting who God is in me and through me in an accurate way? Because there's a flip side to that too, because it makes love kind of complicated. And not complicated in the sense that it is, it's not.
Sure.
But you understand at a certain point you can love wrong.
Yeah. It's good.
Or you can represent a God that you've made in your mind and one that's not represented through scripture, and that ultimately resonates with our spirit who knows him fully.
That's right.
Right. And so, like, it gets complicated. And the point I want to make to that on this podcast is, I know that we both preach and we're in scripture like that, but that didn't happen because, like, I tell people this all the time, it's not my job now because it wasn't my job then.
Right.
When I had three jobs and I had a family, it's the same game. You know, it just doesn't change gears. Like, I'm not a pastor because I disciple people.
That's right.
And I should say that backwards. So I don't disciple people because I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor because I disciple
That's
people.
Right. That's
and we're
right.
all called to disciple That's our right. families first. Which
That's right.
First, that means we have to be disciples. So let me kind of reel back and just, again, I like to make things practical, and I tend to just veer off into the completely impractical. But so with the busyness of life and the different seasons that you've been through, how do you continue to remain purposeful when it comes to parenting? Because I know it's easy to just check out and become passive, and man, it's a long day at work and I need to, you know, an hour and a half on my screen on my phone playing some game that's going nowhere, and you turn around and, you know, kids are in bed and day's done.
Right.
You know, so
it's really good.
When you have a lot of things going on, what is it that keeps you kind of grounded in consistency and purposefulness?
Yeah, man, what a great question. So I think we own the moment.
Yep.
Number one, meaning with each kid's different, and I won't call them out specifically here, but some are more talkative than others.
Yeah.
So if I've got a quiet one wanting to talk, I don't care what's going on in my world, I'm going to own that moment.
For sure.
You know, if I've got a talkative one wanting to be quiet, I'm going to own that moment. I'm going to, hey, are you okay? What's going on? Not that silence is wrong, because Megan's quieter and I'm louder.
Sure.
And so if I'm quiet, it may not be that something's bad. It may be that I'm having a peaceful moment. the other thing I think is, we are spirit-led. We should be spirit-led in every area of our life. But I think even more so in our parenting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
and so
good.
We were in one of those seasons a few years ago, and it was a God-ordained thing, but I thought, I'm going to take each kid on a little getaway.
Yeah.
Right, so for my boys, I call it a BAM trip, becoming a man, and we go do something, right? So Jason and I went fishing in Minnesota, and then Chloe, her and I went to Colorado Springs and went white river rafting and played a Manitou, and it was just a party. And matter of fact, I took a picture of one of the penny arcade games in Manitou.
Let's go.
And sent it to Pastor David, because he grew up in Manitou. He goes, I played on that exact same machine. And,
that's awesome.
You know, and with Benny, we did an overnight thing, or did something here, and Briley was something different. And but really trying to be intentional. And when the Holy Spirit said, man, you need some days with each kid.
Yeah.
You know, and
so
then,
good.
You know, I speak, don't... in the past, I've spoke a lot at, like, Christian music festivals.
Yeah.
My girls both love concerts.
Okay.
So I was like, bet, let's go. You know, you'll get to meet all the people that you want to meet.
Yeah.
And we'll party and we'll talk about Jesus, and they'll be backstage and they get to watch God move, and they get to be aspects of helping me in those moments. So they're getting acclimated, but also activated into ministry.
That's so good.
So they're seeing what it's like. They're seeing the backstage. They're seeing the real life, but they're also parts of their soul are being activated.
Yeah.
With one of them, I'm noticing there's a real push toward more humanitarian type ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, okay, I'm working on a trip that I've somewhere where we can do some humanitarian stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's just grinding for people that can't for themselves. And so I think that's, for me, now those are maybe bigger things that not everyone can do.
I was actually thinking about like, well, what would a potential argument to that be? And it would be like, hey, I don't have the PTO or the time for
sure.
that. But as I had that thought, I was reminded, and I try to say this as often as I can, because you're graced for what you embrace.
Say that again.
Yeah, you're graced for what you embrace. That's like, and every parent knows that, because no one was ready to have kids. Or four kids.
Sure.
Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's facts.
You know, it always hits you, but you have to step through that door. And the moment that you step through that door, usually it's at the end of yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Great. In the fullness of your weakness and the admittance and recognition of it, like, oh, his strength is made perfect. Mm-hmm. Right? And so it's like, you're not graced for it if you don't embrace it. And so what does that look like? And it's like, put it on the calendar.
That's right.
No, like send the email to your boss.
Mm-hmm.
Take the PTO on a Tuesday, and you know, I'm not advocating pulling kids out of school, but maybe take your kid out of school if the calendar doesn't line up a different way.
My dad did that for me.
Yeah,
he took me out, and hey, we're going deer hunting, and I was like, for me, that was my dad taking time off work.
Yeah,
it was something that we both loved to do, but it was him being intentional.
Yes,
more than it was anything else. It was him saying, "Man, I'm investing."
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love it, and I think it's so important that you just put it on the calendar and you make it happen, and you have no idea the amount of impact that a moment's going to make for a kid's entire life.
That's right.
That's like that. But I feel like we're maybe jumping a step here, because I've always committed to that the strength behind every child-parent relationship is found in the bond between the parents in marriage.
Go ahead.
And it's not to cast any kind of dispersion towards people who have gone through divorce or in blended family situations, but the measure of the success of the ministry that you can have with your children is going to be directly aligned into the unity that you have with the other partner.
That's right.
Of that child's life.
That's so good.
Because you know, this has been an interesting question within certain communities. It's come up as, you know, different technologies have arisen, like IVF and different kind of parents, the maybe same-sex couples, has become an ethical issue for them internally, which is, what child doesn't deserve a mother? Mm-hmm. The answer to that question is zero. Mm-hmm. None of them don't deserve a mother. They all deserve a mother. And what child doesn't deserve a father? And the answer to that is zero.
Right.
So every child deserves a mother and a father. So just speak to a little bit of, you know, obviously the intentionality we have with our children is important. And I feel like sometimes that's the easier one.
Sure, no, that's true.
Than to really figure out and do the work to make your marriage amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of work, in my opinion, just by my experience. But what are some of the things that you and Megan maybe practice doing to, you know, really strengthen your marriage so that then your parenting can be more effective?
Yeah, it's really good. So several years ago, looking at Hannah and Samuel, that whole setting of scripture, and the Lord just very plainly, he said, if you minister to me first, if you minister to your wife second, if you minister to your kids third, you now are a candidate to minister to the world.
Yeah.
And so it's that order, right? We do have a tendency, to your point, of putting kids above.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you'll hear me say this a million times over the next 30 years. And it's date your wife.
Yeah, for sure.
It's date your wife.
Yeah.
Never quit dating your spouse.
Yeah.
I'm still learning about my wife.
Right.
You know, I told this story to someone actually this morning. We've been married about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And where she was playing college volleyball, I'm taking her to this tournament, and I stopped to get donuts, right? She's hungry. I'm like, we'll just grab some donuts at the gas station, some Little Debbie donuts. So we grab them, I put them in the car, we get on the road. And she looks at me, and she says, I don't even like those donuts. And I'm like, what do you mean? You've always, we always eat them. She's like, no, you always eat them. And I never had the realization that it was, I buy the donuts and the donuts disappear. It didn't dawn on me that I was that the one.
You were Houdini.
Them, you know? Yeah. And so I was Houdini. Yeah, that's right.
Make them disappear.
But 20 years, we'll be married 20 years in June. 20 years into this thing, like I'm still discovering my wife.
Yeah.
So my question is simply this. When do you quit discovering?
Yeah.
When you quit searching.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, no, I think mean? That's, I mean, even going back to identity, you know, that's one of the things that I learned, because me and my wife have a really weird route. You know, we didn't get married because we liked each other. Mm-hmm. I know this sounds really odd to hear, but it was very true. You know, we got married because I had recently been saved and been put through a proving process that I wasn't just finding religion to get something else, but it stuck. And through that, though, we weren't each other's type. Mm-hmm. We didn't like each other, but we had a kid. And so the question that really surrounded the initial season of our marriage was, is there a grace for this? Mm. And well, the two were made one flesh. And so we were like, okay, well, there's a grace for it. Let's find it. Mm-hmm. And then we went through a whole process of it. But my point in mentioning that was, is it took me about probably 5 years to figure out she's new every day. Mm-hmm. You know, we encounter ourselves and we encounter different levels of our identity. It doesn't change because you're not a kid anymore.
Right.
Or because you turn 18 and somehow right. The United States of America thinks you're an adult. Yeah. Like you're constantly encountering a new transformation mm-hmm. of this eternal thing that is your being. And that's not just true of you, but that's true of your spouse too. So yeah, you have, it's always an exploration process.
That's right.
And so anyway, I love that you say that because that's so on point, mm-hmm. you know, and then just valuing the time that you have, you know, not.
And those are moments, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's cooking breakfast because right. maybe we got stuff, we got kids' ball games and church and again, all that is ministry.
Yes.
We have a lot going on, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So it's finding those, hey, can I buy you a coffee? Hey, so we were at a kid's banquet. And sports banquets are ridiculously long.
Yeah. Well, everyone's got to get a trophy, Pastor. I mean, what happens?
There might be a room in Hades where you sit in a kid's sports banquet and you don't have a kid in the room. You just got to sit through the whole thing.
It's the third level of Dante's Inferno.
It is the third level, yeah. I left in the middle of it and went and got my wife a drink and brought it back and didn't miss anything.
Right.
But for her, it meant the world.
Yeah.
It meant the world that I just was intentional to go get her a cream soda at the gas station down the road. You know, and so it's, again, if I was going to say a phrase, if I was going to preach, it'd be own the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this, if I'm going to own it with my kids, I have to own it with my wife.
Yeah.
And I love that you brought up making the moment because, you know, I have friends that they go to Hawaii 3 times a year.
Right.
But I'm like, we don't have that ability in life. But what do I have?
I'll receive it.
I'll receive it. Glory to God. Come on. But maybe it's lunch.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's lunch once a month.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's not a BAM trip that's 2 days in Minnesota or whatever. Maybe it is
so
taking
good.
A day off and going to, I don't know, somewhere around town to just go to a Chiefs game.
No, I love that because it's a matter of, you know, I think something that gets hijacked a lot is it's kind of like, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, so to mm-hmm. speak, but it flies in the face of stewardship.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I don't have Hawaii right now, but what do I have?
Right.
Oh, I have
hibachi.
Lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, sushi or whatever. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And maybe I don't even have that. It's like,
sure.
Well, what do you have? Because what we know is that when we steward what we have to whom.
Say it.
Much is given, you know, it's given more.
It's good.
And then what happens to the one that doesn't utilize what they
away.
Have? It gets taken mm-hmm. away. So this is a biblical principle going back to stewardship, and it ties into everything, marriage, you know, our own relationship with God, obviously, mm-hmm. our marriages and our children, and how that kind of like falls out and flows out.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so maybe just one more question. Do you guys have like a mission as a family, is that a thing for you guys? I know it's not like a thing for everyone, but like
absolutely.
Tim's being pastors,
absolutely. That's hilarious.
Mission statement,
right?
It's a good idea
for everything in life.
Yeah.
We have a family motto, family mission statement, whatever you want to call it. We're gonna love God.
Yeah.
We're gonna love each other. We're gonna love people. We're gonna love church, and we're gonna have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so, if other things don't get done,
I'm okay. Have a lot of fun.
We have to. The thing is, sometimes we take those other four things so serious that we forget to have fun.
Dude, I suck at fun.
But if I'm not having fun,
you said I know.
Not you specifically, my man.
Oh, that's so funny. No, it's true.
But I know my weaknesses. Like, if we're not having fun, if I'm not having fun in ministry,
yeah,
like I'm not doing ministry right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because God is fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think sometimes we have this picture about identity, this picture that it's like he's ready to have a lightning bolt if we mess up. And it's like, man, you know that Jesus had fun with this. I'm convinced sitting around a campfire, right?
Oh,
and
man.
Jesus looks around. It's hot, you know, and he reaches behind him and he grabs this and he says, this is a Slurpee. It's not coming around for 2,000 years, but this is going to be amazing.
Awesome. Yeah.
Now that's, but I'm like, for real, you know, he just had fun. And so I think that it's last in that because more than I want to have fun, I want to love them. You know what I mean? But I want them to have fun in all those other areas. I want them to have fun in church. I want them to have fun with our family and well.
No, I love that. And it's funny because I've had this like running kind of joke. You kind of have to understand a little bit of things about some biblical concepts, but you know, like we can become pretty accurate with the idea that Lazarus wasn't like very old.
Yeah.
And he wasn't like an old man or even probably like beyond like a young man, maybe like a teenager.
Right.
When he died in John 11. And I genuinely think that like, I've been a youth pastor for a long time and I've had a lot of teenagers do really annoying things. And I'm like, I'll get you back. And some part of me thinks that that's what Jesus was doing in John 11 is that like Lazarus like did something snarky and sarcastic to Jesus one time. Jesus is like, oh, really?
You're going to pay for that.
Just wait. I'll send you into the glory of God. Perfection.
Pull it.
And I will pull you back into first century Jerusalem without air conditioning,
that's
Jack.
Hilarious.
And that's what that is. I can't prove that, but I just have a theory, and I think that's wildly funny. If
I brought
true.
You into this world, I can take you out.
Yeah, kind of I brought opposite. You into heaven, I can take you out. Yeah, that kind of thing. That's so funny.
I think hilarious.
I think the, you know, one of the reasons I asked the question just about the mission statement, I don't think everybody needs to like go have a mission statement, but I do think that a simple thing that everyone can do is to have a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And to have an aim and to dig into that.
So good,
to
man.
Dig into that vision. You know, God's put a vision inside of every person. And he's put a vision inside of every parent for their marriage, for their kids' lives, and for their own life.
So good, bro.
Now, you're not typically just going to stumble into vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like always. It mm-hmm. can be, but it's not oftentimes. And typically, we don't perceive, even if it does happen, passively, like even if it just comes to us, we tend to not value that mm-hmm. the same way or the way that's necessary to then steward the vision correctly. So it's like, yeah, you gotta dig, you gotta go deep for it.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, your family's worth it.
Yeah.
You're worth it.
If anything is.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the piece that culture's missing right now is we know that family's super valuable.
Mm-hmm.
There's books being written. You know, I remember just this past week, you know, I listened to a number of different podcasts and some of the top podcasts in the world, like four of them had this variable of like the culture trying to answer the question of like, how do we parent? And it's like you have a God-inspired vision for your family.
That's
and
so
then
good,
you commit
man.
To it.
Yeah.
And it's worth everything. Mm. There's nothing, like everything falls out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you run that line. It may not be the way that Pastor Bo does. It may not be the way that Pastor Royce does it, but it's the way that God's called you
That's
to
right.
do it. And it lines up with Scripture. It lines up with the principles and tenets of Scripture. And
That's
it doesn't
so
depart from that at all. So
it's so good, man.
Pastor Bo, it's going to be your first Easter here in Olathe.
Yeah, pump, bro.
You excited?
I'm excited, man. It's going to be a party.
I'm excited for
it's
you.
Gonna
this
be
is,
a party.
If you're listening to this or watching this, after Easter and you didn't make it through, sucks for you.
Yeah.
We
had fun without you.
We'll hope to have you whenever we can. You'll have a party. It'll be a
That's
good
right.
time.
That's
and
right.
I'm really excited for not just it being your first Easter, but you know, all the different things and conversations that we get to have and not just the conversations that we have because we can throw words around, but the reality of what happens whenever our spirits entangle with inspiration
mm-hmm.
and then it becomes movement
Yeah, it's good.
And it becomes things that impact people's lives. You know, one of the things that I've been really excited about is just the concept of family ministries. I know it's like deep down inside me. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like sometimes answering the color blue, like what is blue? And it's
Oh, what are you talking about, Sky?
I know what blue is, but I don't necessarily know how to explain it in a way that someone who's blind would know what blue is. Mm. It's not because I don't have experience with it. So sometimes like family ministries becomes that to me.
So good.
Like it's so deeply ingrained into what I do that sometimes I forget that there's people who, they may come from a church background that's just kids and youth, and kids go to little church, right? And adults go to big church, and it's a break for mom and dad.
Sure.
And it's and then there is a junior Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like it can be that. And so the, you know, bringing clarity to no, this is what family ministries is a big deal.
I was it's so good. And to the unchurched, the same.
Yes.
You know, because they don't have a concept of what family ministries or even kids churches. Yeah. I was a kids pastor. It's funny you say that, man. And I had a kid that needed to see his parents. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
I would have brought him back to first century Jerusalem also, using your reference. He, sweet kid, but just come from a broken home.
Yeah.
And we couldn't wrangle him for like
a that moment.
Everything we needed to do, knew to do, we go and get his mom. And his mom literally said, I don't care what you have to do to him. Just leave me alone while I'm in church. And it's like, but it's in those moments, it's like, man, she needs a break, but really more than she needs a break, she needs to be empowered.
Right.
We need to give her the tools to make sure her kids are ready to get to heaven and get heaven here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think that, you know, the heartbeat behind all this for me has always been revival.
Mm.
And not the revival that comes at the voice of an individual.
Or a week, yeah.
But millions of parents that live the gospel that they've received into their homes.
So good.
And into the lives of their children. And I literally, man, Pastor Bill, I the more, you know, politicization and the more that we, you know, fall into like these camps of tribes, you know, whether they're Republican or Democrat or ideologies or whatever it may be, the more I'm just like, man, the church has such a relevance here and such a voice and such an opportunity.
Say it, bro.
Because there's people that, man, they may never want to go to church, but they really want to know how to be amazing parents.
That's right.
And you know, for everyone that falls in that category, I get it, because church is complicated. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling God, I have a messed up family. I don't need another one.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you know better, go be better. And then I was like, oh, man, I can't skate that. And then I figured out, oh, in a lot of ways, I don't know better.
Mm.
And in some ways, I can help.
Sure.
But in all of these things, it's like I really want it. Because the thing about parenting that I learned, I think first, before I knew God, before I had any semblance of any of this stuff, was all I knew was what not to do.
Mm.
I feel like there's so many people, and that's their example. What my experience was horrible with my parents, so I'm not going to do what they did.
So good.
But not knowing what to do does not mean you know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite the opposite. The likelihood that you're going to hit the same sand trap on the golf course, quote unquote,
sure,
from a different angle is very high.
Right.
But are you going to hit the mark? That's the difference. And so the opportunity that we have to say, no, this is the mark. To know God, to represent him through our lives to everyone that we know, starting with our families and making that our mission field, and then watching God bloom our purpose.
Yeah, that's good.
And the fruit of that bloom going to wherever God would call us to be. And, you know, sometimes it goes from the southern Missouri to Olathe, Kansas.
Yeah.
And we're happy for the fruit.
Yeah, come on.
Love it, man.
Thank you.
Well, hey, guys, we'll wrap it up at that. Yeah. Pastor Bo, thank you so much for your time, man.
Love you guys. Love you, man.
Cram-packed schedule. It's Easter week. It's going to be an amazing weekend. Come through, you guys. If you're catching this before Easter, March 31st, 2024, we're going to be 8:30. 10 and 11:30. Yeah. We got kids services for all three services. We're gonna have a blast.
Yeah,
so bring your friends, bring your enemies, come through, pack the house, and just experience the presence of God in a profound way. Love you guys. Thank you guys so much.
Love you guys.
See you.
Appreciate you, bro.
Live it, bro.